It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Welcome back to Synergy Connection Show. I have with me a returning guest. So Victoria Hawkins is back. And our topic that we're going to have a conversation about this morning is going to be understanding rituals and how they impact your life. Before we get started with that, I always remind everybody that if you have a friend, a family member, somebody that after you listen to this show, you're thinking, my goodness, they need to hear that show, send them to synergyconnectionradio.com, and all of the shows are archived there. Victoria's show will be the next one up in the queue, and so you'll be able to click on the show notes and go directly to this conversation with Victoria about rituals. Also, while you're on the website, Boomers has a wonderful newsletter that you can sign up for free. And that will give you some insight into how to stay healthy, because during this coming remainder of 2020, it is going to behoove all of us to do the very best we can, whether it's with meditation, exercise, nutritional supplements, whatever we need to do to stay healthy. And part of that is your immune system. And with all of the stress, I think you would agree with this.
Yes.
but with all of the stress and anxiety and fear that people are feeling, I mean, every time we say to somebody, stay safe, we're implying that they are not safe. And that sets up a fear response, which then reduces your immune system and increases your inflammation level. So take a look at the Boomers website and read maybe some of their blogs and watch some of their videos, and maybe add that as another way to stay healthy. So I'm thrilled to have you back again.
Thank you.
It's fun. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
COVID has kept us all indoors being safe.
Yes.
And so that is just the life that we have at the moment. You yourself, I know you're a licensed clinical social worker. I always say that you're an artist and an author, a psychotherapist, a yoga and dance instructor, a mom, and a suburban shaman. And that's kind of a mouthful. But you have a new place, a new studio.
I do. I have a new studio, and it's called Hypnique Studio. If you're in Florida, we're located in Tarpon Springs, and we're a yoga and belly dance studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also just continuing to add in even more wellness practices there. Sound meditations. We've got shamanic Reiki sessions. We've got all sorts of cool things happening there.
And that's awesome.
And we've been running virtually, of course, mm-hmm. for the last 3 months, basically. Mm-hmm. Created virtual online classes, which we still have available. Yet we were able to open up about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago with small in-person classes, too.
And so what are some of the small in-person classes?
Right now we've got yoga and belly dance classes, and then we also have some specialty workshops starting next Friday, which will be back to our sound meditations and other meditative style classes.
So what is sound meditation, if you were going to describe that
sure.
to somebody?
We've got some great individuals, actually. Lindsay and Chris are husband and wife team,
mm-hmm.
and they use a lot of the shamanic rituals. We're talking about rituals, right?
Yes, we are.
And they are coming at it from using things like the Native American flute. Christopher happens to be from Australia, and he plays the didgeridoo.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Lindsay has a variety of sound bowls that she brings, and they always choose a different chakra to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, this one coming up is going to be on the heart chakra.
So will she place the bowl on somebody's heart?
She's not putting them on them, but she does walk around to those that are mm-hmm. there in person, which, by the way, we even have it virtually at the same time. So you can attend whichever way you're comfortable. You can feel the resonation when
mm-hmm.
you're there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because we did them virtually only for the last few months, and I was a participant at my home, you could still feel that sound vibration.
Yes, yes.
Sound really,
carries.
Really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and these are not the crystal bowls that they use, even though some individuals, you know, that is what they have. So they're using the big Tibetan brass bowls
mm-hmm.
of all different sizes.
I've got a little one that
I love it.
I love the sound from it.
And usually we call it a sound bath because you feel bathed mm-hmm. in it. And I found from my own experience that it's very releasing for me. You know, if I'm carrying some of this extra weight mm-hmm. that we all feel right now, more so than ever, I think, it's just helped to let that go mm-hmm. and come more balanced in our own space.
Right. When you mentioned the word weight, I have chuckled because so many people have gone into cooking, and baking because they're home all the time. And so there's nothing that's more awesome than freshly baked bread or cookies or, you know, a dessert of some sort. But then I've seen on Facebook that, you know, a lot of people saying, oh my gosh, you know, this is really creating a different kind of problem for
yes.
them because they're picking up weight that they didn't want to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, rituals sometimes feeding, like soul food.
Yes.
We talk about that a lot. And
comfort foods.
Comfort foods.
Right. I think that these are things that, you know, when we're talking about, that's what we're talking about today. Rituals come from our, and we've talked about this with mm-hmm. me on the show. I really love exploring indigenous cultures all around the world, even though my personal background is mostly Native American, North American.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were talking, you all can't see, but I have these cool earrings
on
today.
They're beautiful, by the way. They're absolutely beautiful.
That were made from, made by either great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents of mine. I can't remember which one, who were from Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other part of my heritage. I don't know as much about that culture, but I love to explore
mm-hmm.
all these different indigenous peoples. So rituals come out of our roots. We create traditions and rituals, but we can also consider some of our habits that we may not think are necessarily our most positive aspects. Those are also rituals.
So give an example there.
Okay. So when you said that about the food, I thought, okay, what are some of the things that we sometimes come to make ourselves feel better that may or may not be as good for us health-wise? You know, I mean, if I'm eating cookies every night that I baked.
Ice cream.
For other people, it may not be sugars. It might mm-hmm. be something else that has like a higher fat content because that
mm-hmm.
feels good for them.
Sure. A lot of people, I think, you know, have been resorting to bags of chips.
Potato chips.
You could maybe choose popcorn, which that's a little healthier.
Right.
For me, I truly enjoy a glass of wine every night.
Right.
So, I know American Cancer Association, I guess, just came up with new guide rules, and it said no alcohol. But I'm going to say wine is a food,
mm-hmm.
and more so than alcohol, you know, like
it
per
is,
se.
It is still food and nourishment.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I think that we can take something that could be a positive ritual,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Having a glass of wine with your dinner or at the end of the night could be
mm-hmm.
a positive ritual.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm extra stressed, I might take that positive ritual and
go
to an extreme.
Right, right.
And I think that that's what some people are experiencing too, is
right. They don't know when to stop.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we know, we just talked about COVID and the fact that we've all been isolated. I started a studio, or I took over a studio the beginning of the year, and 2 months later, I'm running it out of my house for basically 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been in a much heavier stressed environment all over the world, which hasn't happened very many times in our history that we know of.
No.
Certainly not in this era where we have so much connection with people around the world through internet and social media and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this was a great topic for us because while we're in Florida, some of our isolation has been lifted, quite a bit of it in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There's still quite a few places all around the world that are not
mm-hmm.
having that same experience. So, and we're having a different experience probably too. If you are having isolation lifted, you may feel a different level of stress because you're not sure what that means for going out, doing your job back with people, or moving about more. There's a lot on people's minds.
Well, I think the fact that there's so much, you know, really weighing on people's minds these days, there's been an uptick in accidents. And for us, for us, you know, here in Pinellas County, we have Highway 75 that, I mean, in the mornings, for the longest time, nobody was on the road.
Yes.
And so you could get from A to B to C, you know, pretty easily. Now, you know, it's the traffic is definitely probably at 80%, I would say, of what it normally would be. But there's more accidents. And I think it's because people are distracted. They're thinking about something else. They're not used to driving in heavy traffic. So that mindset of be cautious, be aware, has lifted a little bit, and they need to get back into doing that. But it's fascinating to see the different changes.
Yes, and one of the things that I started thinking about when all of this happened, because I have always loved, I probably have always been fascinated with the human body. Growing up a dancer, then ending up in first a psychology major, and then into becoming a licensed clinical social worker, a psychotherapist, the brain was fascinating to me. So I've really enjoyed looking at the body and how it functions over the course of my life. And then you see that led me to fitness and all these different things that I do now. So when I was looking at these changes that were happening for all of us around the world, one of the things that came up for me was thinking about our neural pathways, which is, if we, I'm not sure if we've talked about this on here or not, but either way, neural pathways are those paths in our brain.
Like little roads.
Like little roads that we send our messages to the other parts of our body. And of course we have then the nervous system all through our body.
Right.
So when we've had these big changes happening, no matter what, your neural pathways are having to make a shift to handle what's going on. So what if we took this time to be more conscious and aware of the patterns that aren't working for us anymore? Maybe even old rituals that aren't going to even be valid anymore.
It could be exercise, could be eating habits, could be how we spend our free time.
Yes.
You know, maybe not on the couch so much anymore, but out walking in nature.
Or one of the things we were talking about right before the show, too, was even celebrations that we would have normally had that happened during this time, like for Christian culture, Easter happened during this time. Actually, spring equinox is one that I always observe as it's similar time.
Mother's Day. We got Father's Day
came
coming
and
up.
Went. Yeah. These were times that we typically have in our American culture or Christian culture too around the world for Easter, things that you observe together usually. So some of your rituals might have been to get together with family.
Sure, Easter egg hunts.
Easter egg hunts. Oh my goodness, in your in our neighborhood, that every year, now my kids are older now, so not as much into that because they're teens, but when they were younger, we did the Easter egg hunt in the neighborhood. You touched everybody's eggs. You didn't think about washing hands and, you know what I mean? It was an Easter egg hunt. So rituals are something that typically ground us too, and when those are suddenly removed or someone says, well, it's Easter, but you can't do it all these things that you would normally do, it's very upsetting to our physiology too. But we may not know that on the surface. We're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, that's not great that I can't go over to my friend's house now for that big celebration. But there's a part of us that is very used to that ritual. And that, I think, is also creating that, that deeper stress, that undercurrent.
A part of it, because you and I both, as therapists, know that loss. Change is incredibly difficult at any level for any person. And it's very difficult for animals. And they've had a shift in what they can do, too. But I think, you know, the stress of COVID-19 causing this social isolation, that is a huge, huge loss. And so you go through the grief stages. You know, and so a lot of people are angry. And a lot of people are trying to process how their lives have changed. I don't know how many, I don't know anyone personally, but we certainly have heard this on the news, the number of individuals that have not been able to go to funerals.
Yes.
They've not been able to go to weddings. They've not been able to go to bar mitzvahs. They've not been able to go to christenings. You know, all of these things that brought families and friends together.
Right.
And that simply hasn't happened. And but I think one of the biggest would be not being able to go to a funeral. And we've had so many people die.
Yes. And so the death itself is a loss, of course. Mm-hmm.
But
the loss of the ritual that you would have had around honoring that.
To support each other.
And to support each other.
Yeah.
And so creating new rituals, and this, you know, this will go beyond this time too. I was thinking about this when I was thinking about rituals and practices. For me, I experienced a divorce in my life many, many years ago. Bringing closure to that relationship so I could move forward in a different way,
mm-hmm.
with letting go and not carrying that with me, I actually created a ritual around the letting go and honoring my past relationship. And I wasn't moving into a new one at that time. I was just moving into a relationship with myself,
mm-hmm.
and a deeper relationship with my children, because I had children at the time already. And I created a ritual to honor the close of one and moving into a new stage in my own life.
So how did you go about creating that for somebody that might
sure.
be right there?
Okay, so for me, one of the things that this piece of it comes from Native American legends and cultures, from what I've understood.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I was introduced to this one through a book called The Lakota Way, which is a really fantastic book.
I have it.
Do you?
I
think we might have talked about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that book. I think this one, this first part of it might be from that one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the idea of calling back all the parts and pieces of ourself that we've left in other places and times.
Mm-hmm.
And
so the little girl, you know,
yes,
the teenager,
yes,
all of that,
all you, and we don't consciously like leave a part of ourselves somewhere, but we get connected to people,
mm-hmm.
and when we've spent time with someone, you end up connected with that person, and we know that that exists. So when we're putting a close to something, we don't want to leave a portion of our energy,
mm-hmm.
still with that person, because it does feel then like you have a missing piece.
Sure.
So
the puzzle that all of a sudden,
yes,
has three pieces that are gone and you never find them.
And you never find them again.
No.
And you're like, what's off here?
Right.
I don't feel complete.
Right.
And I think a lot of people say that.
Right.
I don't feel complete. And my belief has always been that I am complete on my own. But when you've been in union with someone for a time, you are sharing energy. So part of the Lakota ritual is to go and actually stand in water.
Mm.
So this was what I did. I actually did it at Phillippe Park.
In the water there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Just on the edge.
Yeah.
I didn't get too far in, but just on the edge. With my feet in the water, calling back the parts and pieces of myself. And this part is important to me. Whole and cleansed, because they've been away from you, so you just
mm-hmm.
want your own stuff back, right?
Mm-hmm. So did you go all the way back to childhood, or just the part that you'd shared with your husband?
For this particular situation, because I've done this more than once,
mm-hmm.
for different times in life, it was just for that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also had collected a few items
mm-hmm.
that I felt were okay to put into the water, because, again, being environmental about it, right?
Right.
And I'm not sure if this part was technically legal in the park, but I made like a little funeral pyre.
Okay.
Just a little easy to burn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Burned it.
Like sage?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 To clear.
Sure.
And close that chapter in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that felt, I think that was extremely powerful as a ritual to say, this piece is over, but I honored the parts of it that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going forward whole and complete myself.
Right. So did you go through each year that you were married? Or
I didn't.
Just, no?
I just did it as a whole. And you could certainly do it a different way. I tend to shorten things. I don't know if I've ever told you that, Lucy.
I don't think so.
Here's an example of another ritual. I'll tell you that one in a moment. But I tend to take honestly time-honored rituals that are really beautiful, and maybe because
shortcuts.
Maybe it's an impatience on my part, I don't know, but I tend to make shortcuts out of them. I think they call those hacks now, but anyways, another one that I did it with is a beautiful Taoist ritual called the Inner Smile, I used to do it in its full capacity. It would take me about 45 minutes every morning.
Wow.
Again, another ritual.
Right.
And I also call them practices, too. I committed to this practice of seeing my body differently. I think I started doing that one about 10 years ago. And for probably a good year, I did it in its entirety almost every morning.
So it was the way you started your day.
It was the way I started my day.
Okay.
Smiling, and there's a book on it. It tells you how to do the whole routine, smiling at all the different systems of your body and organs. So you're creating an inner smile, and you're mm-hmm. sending it to all the parts of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, over time, I shortened that. I still do it all the time, and I've led people through it in a shorter manner, to start to create a new relationship with your body, because I think that that's something that, particularly as women in our culture, we don't always get taught to have a good relationship with our body.
No, and I would say most women, they look at themselves in the mirror and they find fault.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe they're not tall enough, skinny enough, their boobs aren't big enough,
right.
You know, something that isn't quite the way they would like for it to be. But then you send that energetic message
yes.
to that part of your body that I don't like you. And so you can imagine, you know, even as a child, getting the message of I don't like you.
Right.
And then you live with that for years and years and years. So that part of your body isn't growing the way it needs to grow. It's not healthy the way it needs to be healthy. And I sometimes wonder if a lot of our health conditions, whether it's breast cancer, uterine cancer, whatever it might be that eats away.
Sure.
If that isn't because of the message that we actually sent, that part of our body of you don't measure up. And so it's self-destructed.
And I think that there's a lot of validity to that. And you've probably heard of Dr. Emoto.
I loved him.
Amazing. He's since passed on. But many years ago, he was in the St. Pete area at least once, because I was able to be a part of attend a talk
mm-hmm.
with him, and I was so fascinated
mm-hmm.
by his experiments on water and what they would say to the water and how it would shift the crystals.
Mm-hmm. Did you know you can do that with rice?
No, I didn't know that.
This is a really good thing to do with kids.
Okay.
You can take three little bowls of just plain old minute rice, you know, nothing
yes.
fancy. And so, you know, you've got three separate bowls, but you put the rice in it at the same time. So one of the bowls, you tell all the time, you're beautiful. I'm so thrilled that you're in my life. You know, you give it positive messages every time you pass it.
Okay.
All right. One you ignore.
Okay.
And one you say, you're disgusting.
Okay.
You know, you're going to make me fat. You know, and so you give it constant negative images that it vibrationally
right.
is receiving. What happens, and you separate them a little bit so that they can't
hear the other messages.
The other messages. rice hearing things. I know people are going, yeah, right. But this is such a fascinating study that they've done. So the rice that you've given positive messages to stays purely white. The rice that you were neutral and didn't do anything with begins to disintegrate.
Okay.
And the rice that you gave negative messages to basically becomes rotten.
Wow.
So it gets moldy,
yes.
you know, and it disintegrates in a much faster way than the neutral. And so if we can do that with rice, minute rice no less, what are we doing with our bodies that are mostly water?
Yes.
And that vibrationally, you know, we are sending constant messages to, good, bad, or indifferent.
And I think even if you just take it at the amount of stress that it creates for us
mm-hmm.
by continued unconscious messages. So sometimes rituals, like I said, we can also call them habits,
mm-hmm.
just came out of stuff that we were told or things that we picked up in our culture, and now we're saying them to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
even unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
when you start to make a new practice or a new ritual of paying attention, which I've always, for many years, I've just called mindfulness, mm-hmm. being mindful of what I say, and then the next thing is to shift it. Mm-hmm. So if I start to notice that I'm not giving myself very positive messages, those unconscious negative messages are still having an impact on my body. When I begin to notice and have awareness, now I can make the shift. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that happened that we were also talking about right before we came on is we all were given, whether we wanted it or not, a time of being more contained, mm-hmm. and having less activities, at least, to distract us.
Right.
Therefore, we might have started to notice some things about ourselves, even if that wasn't really our way in the past. Mm-hmm. I've spent a lot of time paying attention to myself and my words, and it's why I've made a lot of shifts and changes and continue to, and it's also why I choose to guide people in that way mm-hmm. now. However, I think it's very interesting that many people who may not have had that experience before, where they felt they had the time to do that,
right,
they have had that time, and things start coming up, you know?
I'm not so sure that, because I refer to the universe a lot as my teacher. I'm not so sure that the universe kind of got upset with all of us because we were not paying attention and just said, okay, people on Earth, everywhere, you're going to come to a screeching halt because this virus is going to knock you crazy. And those of you that have been taking care of yourselves are going to survive it. And those of you that maybe weren't may not survive it. And in the meantime, we want everybody to just sit and pay attention to Mother Earth. Because, you know, the air has cleaned up a lot, and like Los Angeles and places like that. Now, I don't know with, you know, the release of cars back on the main highways, if that's not going. But the awareness that you could begin to make a change environmentally certainly was happening. Relationships might have or might not make it, you know, because all of a sudden you can't distract yourself nearly as much. Kids got the opportunity to have attention, good, bad, or different, but they got attention because as human beings in today's society, we have too many distractions in general. And so, you know, you've got TV, you've got your phone, you've got the internet, you've got, you know, movies and games and, you know, activities, and everybody's running crazy doing this, mm-hmm. that, and the other thing. All of a sudden, that stopped. And so you got a chance to actually look at each other, listen to each other, experience, you know, those activities that were family kind of oriented. I think one of the coolest things that's come out of this, and I would love to see it continue, two things actually. Animal shelters have very few animals in them because they've learned that animals provide that unconditional regard, and mm-hmm. so it reduces stress. And so people went and adopted cats and dogs. I pray that they take care of them after things resume some sort of normal patterning again. But that's one. And then the other thing is people started cooking together with their families. And so they were making things in the kitchen and doing it not just with mom or dad, you know, throwing something together, but they were actually looking at nutrition. And they were learning to cook instead of grab carry out. And I thought both of those were like, wow. These are some amazingly good lessons for us to pick up again and maybe become a ritual.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, one of the things I was thinking about was, again, back to indigenous cultures, you would have, if there are some things that we don't need as much about tribes, of mm-hmm. course, mm-hmm. but some of the cool rituals that come out of tribes are the things that we do together.
Exactly.
And that would have been something that there were different roles for different parts of the family or the community,
right?
Because it wouldn't have necessarily been just the one family system, but even the community,
right,
would have, you know, someone might have this part of the cooking that they're mm-hmm. doing, or the mm-hmm. kids are doing this part over here. That's kind of a neat thing that
it
can
is.
Become a ritual that, you know, comes out of this,
right? Just you know, a prep time. And I'm thinking back when I was growing up, you know, not as many women worked. And so they would be together as a group during canning season. You know, so you'd have the harvest coming in from the gardens.
Okay.
But you would be putting up jams and jellies and, you know, pickles and tomatoes and, you know, things that were coming right out of your garden that were going to carry you through the winter. And, you know, that was in Indiana, which is
right.
a farming, more of a farming community. But I'm sure it's done, you know.
Oh, we had it here. I mean, I grew up in Florida, and we, this is, here's a family ritual that I had mm-hmm. with my mom for many years. We had and have the strawberry farms
mm-hmm.
pretty nearby. I grew up in Brooksville, and there was a lot of them in Plant City.
Yeah, you can go pick your own.
Yeah. They're not far from here. We would go. We would pick strawberries with my mom, and then she would do the making of the jam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we froze some, too, but that's what I remember is making the jam.
And the whole house smelled like strawberries.
Yes. And my granny, who I've probably talked about before on the show, hummingbirds represent her when we were talking about totems.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, I saw a couple hummingbirds the other day on my walk, which I haven't seen in a while. It was really
maybe
special.
Maybe she was visiting.
She was visiting. My granny used to make, she called them bread and butter pickles.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
Yes, delicious.
Yeah.
And my mom would eventually make those, too. I'm pretty sure, now this, my granny was not my mom's mom. It would have been her mother-in-law. However, I do think she learned to make those from my granny, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
These are rituals that came out of their culture in Alabama, which was also for them a more of a farming community.
Mm-hmm.
So not all rituals go back to even, you know, earlier indigenous times, let's
right.
call it.
Right.
Some come out of our family cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when those families shift and change, like I was talking about before, we may need to make new traditions.
Right.
That feel good to us because the old way doesn't really match the current system that we're in or that we're choosing for ourselves.
When, I don't know about you, when you were growing up, but when I was growing up, and I did this with my own son, bedtime stories, you know,
oh,
were rituals
yes.
before you would go to sleep. You would
yes.
read a chapter in a book, maybe talk about it, but you'd look forward to that as part of the bedtime ritual. I think, you know, there was a, I don't even remember exactly. It was like a little poem. But as a child, I remember that there were certain things you did on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And it was set, you know, to this poem.
Yes.
And so I think rituals gave stability.
Yeah.
You know, people could look at the ritual and go, okay, this is what our family does. And you would have historical knowledge of what families did in your family. And you might share that as you married somebody, because maybe their rituals, you know, were different.
Right, right. And it's funny, my mom just had a birthday, and interestingly, during quarantine time, now, I'm the oldest of five kids.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of us have partners, and then all but one sibling has kids. So we're a pretty vast family.
Mm-hmm.
None of the other family members live in Florida, and most of them live far away from each other.
Oh.
So we don't typically get together anyways as a whole entire family. However, during this quarantine time, my youngest sister, who's in Virginia, wanted to do something to connect herself to the family because for her it was very challenging to all of a sudden be at home. She was really used to doing and going and all of these things, and,
yeah.
and suddenly she was at home. So she decided to do a Zoom call with whatever family members could make it.
Fun.
Once a week.
Oh my gosh.
For a while. Now
okay.
I didn't make all of them, but popped on some and my kids as they could. And she read, actually. So, and then
what was she reading?
Well, a tradition from my family was reading Pilgrim's Progress.
Okay.
Which has another name too. I can't remember the other name, but anyways, it has a couple variations.
Uh-huh.
So she was reading that because it was something from our childhood
right.
that was important to her.
Right.
It's grounding, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
soothing.
I think it was soothing. She's an amazing actress, and that's her field, theater. Mm-hmm. So, of course, she read it with voices and everything, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was really entertaining to younger kids, because there's a lot of younger kids in the family. But just this past week was my mom's birthday, so we hadn't done a Zoom call in a while. So we did one for her birthday, and my dad had us all talk a little bit about, you know, something that we honored about my mom, which was sweet. And one of the things that I told my mom was, I really enjoyed what she taught me as being a host. My mother, every year, here's a ritual from my family, did an open house around Christmas. This was her way of celebrating Christmas. We would bake for weeks up until, you know, certain things. Some had to be made that same day or whatever. But we would bake for weeks up until the event. And then there would probably, some years there was more than 100 people that would come through the house.
Oh, wow.
Because it was an open house. It started at a certain time and it went until nobody was there anymore. And eventually when I was older, I could invite my friends, you know, when I was a teen. And then I would exchange gifts with my friends. And this was something that I learned a lot about hosting a party. So something that was probably an enjoyable grounding ritual for my mom to celebrate a time became something that gave me gifts and talents to do that later in life. And I think that's a great skill to have. I love
it. Is. Absolutely.
And now running a studio, I actually feel like that's something that I incorporate.
Absolutely. You host.
Yeah, I host, even if I'm not the main teacher. So I host. So I love the impact as we're talking about this. You know, rituals can have a beautiful impact when we're aware of what they are and how they're affecting us.
Right.
And then also noticing if I have a habit, a pattern, a ritual that isn't serving me anymore.
Maybe to let it go.
To let it go and how to shift it. And
right.
When I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the ways that I've created new, like we were talking about, those new neural pathways. Because we actually have to make new roads in our brain.
Right. Well, it's new connections.
It is.
Most people, if they drive someplace,
yes,
they have a particular way that they like to drive. And that is a neural pathway.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden when there's a detour and you can't go that way anymore, and maybe it's going to be that way for 3 months, 6 months while they do road construction,
right,
that's going to cause you to make that new neural pathway. And so with our thoughts, if our thoughts were always, this is the way we do something, and
yes,
we no longer can do it that way, then how else do you want to do it?
Right. I established with the guidance of one of my mentors that I've talked about many times, Mary Maynard, who's up in Cleveland. She's the one that I've done the shamanic Reiki attunements and all with. She came up with the idea of the prayer cards. That's what she called them. But it's basically just statements. It might be mantras. It might be a statement that hits you. It might be a verse.
Yeah.
I do shuffle them. I put them on note cards. I love note cards. And I just write them. I have a stack that's about probably 3 or 4 inches high now of them, because I started doing them in February, which was beautiful, because once March hit for us, I had already created a practice of pulling these cards in the morning.
So now you pull one or more?
I usually pull more, because I'm like, oh, well, that's nice. What else do my guides want to tell me? And that's how I connect with them. I see it as a way that my spirit guides, angels, it's a way that they can communicate with me.
Now, I have a question, because a lot of times I will get repetitions, you know, from my guides.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm wondering, when you pull your cards, is there ever a week when maybe you pull the same message several times because you're not getting it yet, so they just have you pull it again?
Yes. And what I think is funny is I'm usually either annoyed or confused by those.
Okay.
You know? Like, either, I may not be annoyed always, but sometimes I'm confused by it.
Like, what's the
real
meaning?
What does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does that really mean? Why am I getting that? And then I will get that more than once, or even the next day. Or I've had it where I decide I don't want that one.
Oh, you get rid of it.
Oh, yeah, I can be like a little bit belligerent sometimes. And I put it back in the deck, and then I'll shuffle around, and then it'll come out again. I'm like, okay, that's me really needing that message, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they probably want you to sit with it and think about it.
Yes, and the practice of doing those, one of the reasons why I like to do them in the morning is because it sets the tone for me for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that are in there are positive messages or reminders. You know, one of them might be when I was talking about the ritual of calling back the parts and pieces of myself, there's another statement that I've used that goes along with that that says, I call back my power.
Oh, okay.
And that is a beautiful reminder that I have that power within.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm feeling walked upon, it's because I'm giving someone else my power.
Right.
But I can call it back. It's not it's nothing angry to them. I'm just calling back my own power.
Right.
So there's many, many statements in there. But that's one of the ways that I'm finding has been very settling for me to also move through this time, because I do have people that are looking to me as a guide or facilitator too.
Mm-hmm.
Of practices of peace, and that's really what I offer. You know, peace and joy. I feel like that's what I do at the studio and have done for many years. Dance, yoga, counseling, all the things that I do, they're all practices of peace and joy.
Right.
And
right.
Offering ways for people to participate in that.
Right.
So I find with that being one of my roles on planet Earth that I need to make sure that I'm doing that for myself.
Well, and we're in a particularly difficult time.
Sure.
Where peace and joy are, you know, we're struggling to find it. I think that we're on that road to making things change.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, this, again, you know, COVID-19, nobody welcomed it with open arms and said, hey, come on in, I'm
right.
glad to see you. But at the same time, because it came in, and because it was worldwide, I think it gave everybody pause to really look at their lives and discover the things that were truly valuable, the things that were the most important to them, and make sure that your life encompassed that. You know, that you could actually say, I am putting that in my life now because I recognized how important it was. And it might be a person, it might be a ritual, it might be a change of locations where, you know, all of a sudden you're going to have, I don't know, more peace around you if you were in an unpeaceful place, or maybe you have more nature around you, but something that all of a sudden you're going to go, I need that, whatever that is.
Yes.
One of the things that I have been doing for a number of months is going to a park and posting, and you've seen the pictures on Facebook.
Beautiful.
But sunsets are incredibly important to me. Flowers are really important.
Yes.
Seeing the water, you know, in all of its different colors are important. And so, you know, that has become a ritual of going, because it provides, I don't know, there's a sense of just peace that is there. And this particular park, we have kind of an ongoing joke as to, okay, what is the park going to share with us tonight? And there's always something. And it might be a rosy spoonbill, it might be a mullet jumping in the water, it might be, you know, the most amazing cloud shapes, but there will always be at least one thing that the park will say, here's your gift.
Yes.
And so that's pretty cool, you know, to have a ritual that
I love
gifts
that.
You.
You know, when you said that too, it just reminded me of another, I guess I would call it a ritual, although I didn't think of it until just now. Sometime in the last year, probably, I just really started to notice hearts in nature and in other things too.
Oh, you saw one on the cat.
Yes.
Yeah,
when
we were,
so we didn't talk about this the last time. When we walked out of the studio where we're doing the interview, out the door is the cat in the window.
Right.
It, in the way the cat was sitting, showed a heart on its body, which I took a picture of.
Right.
And I told Lucy, the reason I'm taking a picture of this is because this is another message from the universe for me.
Yes.
About, and for me what it means is you are loved, you are supported, you are encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, really tapping into that has been important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially over the last year. And we talked before about, I lost a dear friend a little more than a year ago now, just a little more than that now. And I think it was after that that I really started saying, like, I need to feel that love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
when you've had that loss of a human that you've been close to, feeling that divine love
right.
became even more important to me.
Right.
Even though I still have many other beautiful people in my life. So I started noticing after I asked for that, I really was just asking to be loved, what I started getting was hearts in nature, as I call them. And then I would notice them in other things. And I started posting them on Instagram and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, right? I would take a picture and what else am I going to do with it? So I post it and I started talking about hearts in nature. Well, now what's happened in the last 2 months, other people will find a heart. They know that I love them.
Yeah.
And so they send it to me.
That's awesome.
So now I have other people sending me hearts from nature. Or
right.
One was a French fry, which was so funny. It was like a waffle fry, like
uh-huh.
a Chick-fil-A waffle fry. But it was shaped like a heart.
Uh-huh.
And what a beautiful ritual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, A, I'm looking for signs,
mm-hmm.
which could be an intentional practice.
Right.
I've told the universe somehow that this would be a good sign for me.
Right.
One of my friends, it's arrows, but for me, it's hearts.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing them. Now I'm telling other people about it. And now they're seeing them, which blesses them. But then they send it to me and it blesses me again.
Exactly. I had something
beautiful.
Happen the other day that was so... nature, for both of us,
mm-hmm.
is incredibly important, okay?
Yes.
So, and I think everybody that's heard us talk has realized that. But I had a female cardinal,
oh.
that landed on the windowsill by my bedroom window. And it was early in the morning, and she was chirping away, but I became aware, because numbers are very important
yes.
to me, and the number 7 and the number 11 are constantly showing up, and those are angelic messages.
Mm.
And so here she is on the ledge, and I'm all of a sudden aware that her cadence for her chirp is in sevens.
Oh my goodness.
And so I listened once, and I thought, I think that was 7, and then she did it again, and I'm counting, and I'm like, that's a 7. And then so she was there for probably at least 2 minutes with, you know, this 7 repeat pattern.
Wow.
And so I'm like, all right, I get it. I get it. So yeah, I mean, is that a ritual? I think the ritual is to be aware of nature. And
yeah.
then nature brings you the message that it wants to bring you.
Yes, and I think that is maybe the one of the biggest points of why would we pay attention to rituals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's probably two parts, which one I said already, which is we do need to pay attention to our habits and rituals
mm-hmm.
to make sure there's still something that we want in our life.
Right.
That are leading us to things that bring us more and more growth, spirituality, joy, whatever
yeah,
the case
I was gonna
may
say,
be.
It's supposed to bring you joy.
Yes.
You know, that if you are heading down a path that is bringing only heartache
yeah.
or anger or frustration, or I mean, if the majority of the time is there, then I think, you know, the universe is basically saying, hey, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not the path that you're supposed to be heading down. So if it brings you joy, and granted, there's going to be cycles of growth,
mm-hmm.
And those are going to be bumpy. So when we hit those cycles, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, because you're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be learning that particular lesson. And like I said, change is never easy. It's something that the majority of people are going to struggle with, because it puts us in an area where we're not comfortable. And being, you know, having that discomfort
mm-hmm.
means there's growth and it's an option. So I have always encouraged people that when they are in that moment of discomfort, it's an opportunity. It's your time to say, yeah, I don't really like going through this, but it's for my personal benefit. And so kind of check that out.
And then creating something around that to
mm-hmm.
bring in what you would love.
Right.
One of the other ones I was thinking about with that is, you know, many people are familiar with like full moon or new moon rituals.
Yep. Uh-huh.
You can intend for things to go out that don't serve you anymore. I've loved writing some of those things down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like to burn things, apparently. And then making a little, either a small little fire, if you have a place to do that, or I've also done it where I just tear it up very small and I do it in my sage bowl.
Yeah, I have a sage bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I have like the abalone shell.
Yep.
With the sage, and so I'll actually burn it with my sage. And for me, that's also sending that message up.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually put something I'd like to release and something I'd like to invite in.
Mm-hmm.
These are great ways to tell your entire system
mm-hmm.
that you're ready to make a change and that you want to make it in a way that feels better for you.
Right, and positive as
yeah.
opposed to negative.
And now, see it as an opportunity, like you said, rather than seeing it as
something
you know,
you
my
have
life
to go
has
through.
Gone
yeah. Yeah. Right.
to heck in a handbasket.
Right. It's okay, you can say hell. Now, one other thing that we kind of talked about before the show started
sure.
was this whole, you know, I believe that our angels or our guides give us messages 24/7.
Right.
But they don't have a time frame.
No.
you know, they don't know what time it is anymore. So, I mean, they're just sending messages. And when you open yourself up to receiving, a caution, because mine have been waking me up all hours of
yes.
the night. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, guys. I'm still in human form, and I do need some sleep. So I think, you know, that ritual, inviting your guides, either through tarot cards, through oracle cards, through, you know, angel cards, whatever
yeah.
you might want. But setting a time, that's what you
mm-hmm.
and I were talking about,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, I need those messages. I need to see that I'm on the right path. For me, that's important, is I
yes.
look for visions, and you look for hearts, and I look for natural things that
yeah.
say, yes, you're walking down the right path. But remind your angels that as long as you're a human being, that they need to observe some consideration and set a time, you know? And if
yeah,
it's 6
I love
o'clock
that.
In the morning, then make it 6. If it's before you go to sleep, then make it then. If it's during the afternoon and you take a half hour and you want that as your time. But recently, mine have been like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4. Sometimes it's every hour.
And I've also been hearing that from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that are already tuned into guides have been telling me that. And even other people who maybe that hasn't been their thing that they connect with yet
mm-hmm.
are also telling me that. So I think it's happening.
Probably,
everywhere.
I was going to say, it's
yeah.
probably happening universally.
Yes, I think so too.
And maybe, again, because COVID actually made us come to a screeching halt. We could not leave in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
In some countries, it was policed. I know
sure.
Spain it was,
sure.
and Italy it was. And they were singing from their balconies to each other, which I thought was really cool. But if that's the case, then, you know, all of a sudden we could hear. Because we didn't have as many distractions.
Right.
And then by hearing, you know, angels, guides, whoever it might be, that's coming in with a message that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah, and I think if you set that time for yourself and begin to practice it as a daily to the best of your
mm-hmm.
ability,
because yeah.
you're going to forget sometimes, and that's okay. I think that the standard is, you know, we do things for 30 days or 40 days, or I do 21
days. It becomes
days.
A habit, yeah.
It becomes a habit.
And if you forget even one, you have to start over
right.
again.
Right, that you're supposed to start over again. But the more
Make
that
sure
you
took
do...
a shortcut.
I like 21 days, so maybe
yeah.
that's my shortcut.
Right.
That one comes out of yoga, sadhanas, which again are practices and rituals. So, you know, as we're kind of, I know we're probably coming to the close here, but one of the rituals for me that I started many years ago was using mala beads.
Oh, sure.
And they're typically 108 beads.
And you count them.
You count them. You say a mantra with each bead.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I would do that mantra. Mine was Sat Nam, which I still use, and actually I have it tattooed on my wrist.
Which means?
I am truth.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, reminding you of the wisdom and truth within.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would sit for a moment and listen to my guides. that was huge for me over the years.
Now, in the beginning, in these last couple of minutes that we're going to talk about, in the beginning when you would sit and listen.
Right.
I know for myself, in the beginning, I heard nothing.
Oh, yeah.
and so it was like, oh, you don't want to talk to me. Okay. So, but I think that people out there listening have to understand that when we ask, they're not really sure if you mean it. And so they wait a little bit to see, are you going to ask me tomorrow and the next day? Are you going to ask me throughout the day? Because if you really mean that you want to hear from me, I will come and talk. But if you're just doing it on a whim, no, you're not ready.
And I definitely had that experience too. The more times I did the ritual, then I started to become more open.
Right.
Then it became a conversation throughout the day.
Right.
So it's almost, in some ways too, the impact of rituals are that you create a whole new way of being. That now you don't even need the ritual anymore. I still like to do it every once in a while, but I actually don't use my mala beads all that often anymore.
No, I don't use anything anymore.
I love them. I think they're beautiful, and there is they're the symbol of them is so beautiful
to
me.
And some are exquisite.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. They really are.
It created a space, though, for me to hear more deeply within.
Right.
And now I guess one of my daily rituals is just to be in conversation as many times as I can remember throughout the day with my guides, which lead me to listening to my higher self, as I might call it, or sometimes I call it my true self. And lo and behold, my choices are better, right? You know, life goes smoother, even during times that I didn't know what I was going to do with the studio that I just opened that I had to close immediately.
Right.
I didn't know how to do any of that stuff that I ended up doing. I really truly believe that the reason I was able to keep things going was not of my own power, but knowing that I could trust that I was going to be guided in the right ways. And if for some reason that had not been for me to do, then I would have been guided to release it and feel peaceful with that.
Right.
And that's probably the biggest power of rituals, is creating that new space.
And I think the rituals that we choose to live with on a really regular basis are the ones that are going to be very supportive and very loving.
Yes.
And so those are the ones that will accompany you, if you will, you know, for the rest of your life. You'll have those rituals until the day you die, and that will bring a certain amount of joy, I think, into your life. So, all right, in the last couple of seconds here, I want you to again share with everybody how to find you.
Sure.
Especially if they want to do any of these virtual classes.
Yes.
Because you could be in some other time zone and still participate, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some people participating in some of our things that are in different states entirely than us now. So the website and Facebook, actually, and Instagram, you can find us on all three, for the studio is called hypniquestudio.com, and that's spelled H-I-P-N-I-Q-U-E studio.com, or on Facebook, that's our page, Hypnique Studio, and Instagram, it's at Hypnique Studio. So you actually can find the schedule on there and even register for classes, both virtually or in person, on the link that's at the website. And then one of the other things that we've had during this time is a really fun weekly at-home videos that I am just calling Hypnique at Home. But they're pre-recorded yoga and belly dance videos and some of the meditation videos. They're all YouTube links, and you can do them anytime day or night, and you have those links forever. So that's another little monthly package that we've created that you can do anywhere you are.
Okay. And I'm sure there's a little bit of a fee, so.
Yes. Right. All of these are for pay, but you will also see, too, that like if you were coming in person or virtually, your first class is just $5. And then they go from there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I hope everybody goes and finds hypniquestudios.com and utilizes some of Victoria's wonderful activities that she has going there that will bring joy and peace into your life. And that's something that we're all looking for these days. So I appreciate you being my guest again.
Thank you.
I will see you in a couple of months.
All right.
And again, if anybody listening to the show today recognizes the importance of what we've been talking about, please send them to the radio station, synergyconnectionradio.com. As I said at the beginning of the show, when you get there, if you go to show notes, which is at the top of the page, and click on that, Victoria's show will be the first one. There are almost 10 pages of shows now since we have been airing, almost coming up on 2 years. But there's a lot of wonderful information, and Victoria's shows have always been highly entertaining and fun, and she's a great guest. So go out there and make it your very best life. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next Saturday. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.